Good morning. This is Kevin Woolley, Minister of Music at Mount Sylvan Baptist Church. We'd like to welcome you to our morning worship services with Pastor Bruce Rudd.
Amen. Aren't you glad that the gospel is good news and it brings us forgiveness? It sets us on a path for heaven for all of eternity. That's what we have in the Christmas story, is we have salvation in Jesus Christ. If you're able to stand for the reading of God's Word, we'll be in Matthew chapter 2. And going to read chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. It's kind of a lengthy text, but I want you to get the whole story here of the visit of the wise men. And remember, the wise men, oftentimes our manger scene will show the shepherds and the wise men and everybody together. But remember, there's a gap of time between when the shepherds came at the birth of Jesus and when the wise men arrived. The wise men arrive and Jesus is still a baby, but he's in a house. So there's an interval of time that has taken place. So here we go, chapter 2, verse 1. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men, or magi, from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Verse 4. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet," and this is the prophecy, "But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Verse 7. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also." When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this text. We thank you for your word. And God, we pray that you would apply it to our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, the Lord had brought about prophecy all the way back since Genesis. And matter of fact, if you look in Genesis, the first time you see the gospel mentioned is really in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. And that's when the Bible talks about the prophecy of the seed. And so what happened when Adam and Eve had fallen, and what we call the fall, where sin entered into the world became what we see as darkness. It became sinful and it became dark. There was spiritual darkness that presided over the earth from the day that Adam and Eve fell at that tree in the Garden of Eden. And so that darkness had continued on the earth, spiritually speaking, had continued all the way until the birth of Jesus Christ. That's why Zacharias, in his song, in his prophecy, in Luke chapter 1, verse 78, that's why he says, "For the day spring from on high has visited us." That day spring is the Messiah. And so Jesus, being the light of the world, he finally comes as the scriptures had prophesied, and he says, "Now there is light." Now you say, why is that so important for me today? Because sin is like clouds. And sin, and we have an old nature, and our old nature has the lust of flesh, the pride of life, and all of these things. And sin begins to corrupt and try to hide that light. But Jesus has come, and that light is here today. And so what we tend to do as Christians is we hear these Christmas stories so often every year at Christmas. We hear the Luke 2 version, we hear the Matthew 2 version, Galatians 4, and we see the Christmas story so much that we began to lose sight of just how powerful this moment is. This moment is incredibly powerful, and it still abides with us today because Jesus not only has been born, but Jesus has gone to the cross, and He has resurrected from the grave, and that light has arisen in our hearts to those who believe. And so every single day of the week, you and I should be celebrating Christmas. There's something that we read a while ago that's easy to miss, but did you know what these wise men did? And then it'll kick us off into our outline, but you know what these wise men did before they offered their treasure, the gold, frankincense, and myrrh? The Bible says that when they saw Him, you know what the first thing they did was? They worshiped Him. That's right. They worshiped Him. God is worthy of our worship in Jesus Christ. They worshiped Him. When you go to bed at night, you can worship the Lord. When you're going through the day tomorrow and the day today, you can worship the Lord. When I go deer hunting, I worship the Lord. Probably won't see anything anyway, so might as well worship the Lord. We worship the Lord. And so as we worship the Lord and we see the works of His hands and we declare His glory, something happens in our hearts. Something happens and it's like a magnetism that draws us. Let me tell you what had been happening. And here's your first point when we think of the star. The star speaks of the glory of God in Christ. I want to talk just briefly about what kind of star this was. And when you think about that, the glory of God in Christ, you got to remember who came to Jerusalem, then to Bethlehem, to see this birth of this baby. It was Gentiles from a faraway land, Magi, from a priestly service, astrologers. I mean, they were the gurus of their day, and they're coming from Persia. And Frankie, I believe I have a map. There it is. And if you look at the map on the screen, we don't know what part of Babylon that the wise men came out of, but you can see that map. And depending on where they were in Persia, now Persia is today would be modern day Iran, they went about a 600 to 900 mile journey. Now the prediction there on the screen is about 120 days. That's quite a journey. And they come all of that distance. Why? Because they wanted to worship Him. Can you imagine how tired they was when they finally arrived and they tell Herod, we want to worship the newborn king. We want to worship the king that has been born. They thought that Jerusalem would know what's going on. They thought that Jerusalem, that all of the godly people in Jerusalem would be looking for this Christ child. They thought, hey, it was easy enough for us to figure out. We studied the scriptures. We looked at the timelines. We've studied the prophecies. And we're way over here in another land. And then God allowed His star to appear to where they could see it. So what kind of star was that star? Thank you, Frankie. You know, the Magi coming to Jerusalem was a big deal. Now, I want you to go back in time and pretend that you're in Jerusalem. And here comes the wise men. I mean, an entourage like you've never seen. You know, they're driving Escalade camels. They've got Cadillac camels. They're dressed in the finest of clothes. And here they come. And let me tell you, it got the attention of Herod's palace. They don't mess around. They go straight to his palace. They don't beg to come before the king. They just walk right up to the king. And they said, we got to talk to the king for a minute. See, these Magi were highly respected. Let me give you several reasons, and you might want to make note of this if you don't know this. The Magi were known as king makers. And Jesus is the newborn king. They're known as king makers. No wonder Herod got so scared and so afraid. He thought somebody was fixing to take his throne. They were distinguished. They were generally very rich and wealthy. They were considered the NASA of their day. Like we have the NASA group called NASA. That was like the NASA of their day. They studied the stars. They studied astrology, and it was considered a modern science in their time. They were a priestly group that were leaders of a state religion in ancient Persia called Zoroastrianism, which came after Zoroaster, and of course, Aster, star. And so they had the ingredients, and you say, well, what were the beliefs of Zoroastrianism? Well, Zoroastrianism, it's not Christianity, don't misunderstand. This is coming from Persia. But listen to these ingredients and listen to how they looked for the Messiah. And I'll share a little bit of why I think they did. It had ingredients of a messianic belief. They believed that there was truly a Messiah coming to Israel. They believed in judgment after death. They believed in heaven and hell and free will. It was a religion that was respected even by the Greeks that were near Jerusalem and around Jerusalem. It was respected by them because of their wisdom and because of their knowledge of things and the study of the cosmos. And so when that caravan of Magi shows up, it gets Jerusalem's attention. It gets the king's attention. Now, I want to digress a little bit and go backwards. If you remember, several centuries prior, Israel went into 70 years of captivity. That would have been during the time of Daniel. Daniel was a young man. Jeremiah, the contemporaries of some of the minor prophets, and Isaiah. And so Daniel has been given by God favor, and God allows Daniel to see things that normal minds won't see. And God allows Daniel to interpret dreams, and God causes the Nebuchadnezzar and the kings and Babylon to, and this is Babylon, by the way, is where these Magi came from, and now I'm talking centuries before, and he causes Daniel to have favor from the king because Daniel can interpret dreams. And Daniel becomes promoted in the land. And I mean, he's like chief over the wise men. He's like the chief guy. Everybody came to Daniel. Daniel becomes highly respected, and so does his friends that are with him. And so Daniel begins to pass down to the Magi that are there. He begins to teach them about the God of the Hebrews, the one in whom can give the interpretation of a dream. And Daniel not only could interpret the dream, but if you remember, he could tell you what you dreamed. Now, I guarantee you, I couldn't tell any of you what you dreamed. And you couldn't tell me what I've dreamed. It probably had chocolate involved. I've got a chocolate squirrel sitting on my desk right now. That's the neatest thing I ever seen. I really do. And so Daniel could do this. So because of this, the wise men, the Magi, had been taught. And then they taught the generations below them and the generations below them. And then, of course, with Zoroastrianism, what you have is you have a people ripe to seek the Lord. This is all God's doing. This is all the sovereignty of God. Listen, never give up on the sovereignty of God. His timing is good. God is still at work today. God is just as much God today as he was then. He is the same God today, yesterday, and the Bible says forever. He's the same God. Aren't you glad of that? Okay, the Magi probably understood Numbers 24:17. I want to read it for you. You may remember the prophecy of Balaam and Balak, or Balaam. As Balak wanted, he was the king of the Moabites. And so here comes Israel. They've come out of Egypt. I'm going back in time again so you can see what this star is. So we have the Magi looking for a star, different from any other star that they had ever seen. And so here we have, and by the way, it's our second point, he is the guiding star. And so here we have Israel has come out of Egypt. Israel is now dwelling in the wilderness. They're still under the leadership of Moses. But yet they can't cross the river yet and go into the land of Canaan because that's going to happen under the leadership of Joshua. But there they are, and they're all camped out. And I mean, it's just wilderness out there. It just is rolling hills, sandy rolling hills, probably like some of the areas of New Mexico, if you've seen those areas. And so there they are, their tents, set up by tribe, all out there. And the king Balak of Moab, a wicked nation, he looks out across the river from a high point, and he sees all the tents of Jacob, that's Israel. He sees all these tents, and it begins to concern him. And so he goes to Balaam, which is a seer or a prophet, but Balaam is a wicked guy too. In fact, Revelation, the book of Revelation tells us that he caused Israel to sin. And he there's things that he did. It's like a clock being right twice a day. At times, he did the right thing. But for the most part, he didn't. But here is an instance that Balak does the right thing. And so Balaam does the right thing. So Balak goes to Balaam and he says, I want you to curse Israel. I want you to put a curse on them. And Balaam says, I can't do that. I can only do what God puts in my mouth to speak. But eventually he talks him into it, and then he goes and they do all the rituals. And then he does a prophecy, and the prophecy is to bless Israel. God causes him to bless Israel. And that happens several times. Then he gets to a point where he says, let me tell you something, Balak. And this is where we are in Numbers chapter 24, verse 17. And he says, I want to tell you about some things that are going to happen in the latter days, in the latter times. And he gives him a prophecy. He says, I see him, capital H, that's Jesus, but not now. I behold him, that's Jesus, that's the Messiah, but not near. And then I want you to notice something about the star. A star, capital S. A star shall come out of Jacob, that's Israel. A scepter shall rise out of Israel, that's a king. A scepter meaning a king. By the way, scepter is capitalized. And batter the brow of Moab and destroy all the sons of tumult. Don't you know Balak didn't like to hear that information? You see what he was saying? He's saying everything that is happening, you're wanting to destroy Israel, but from Israel, God's going to bring about the Messiah. How in the world could I curse Israel when God has a plan for them? How in the world could I stop what God is doing when God has shown me that centuries later, there's going to be a Savior born, and he's going to be born, and he's going to be the King of Israel. And he is going to be the star. And so the Magi knew these verses. They understood Micah 5. They understood Daniel chapter 9. And so here's the Magi. And the Magi see a star from the east. Now they were looking west towards Jerusalem. Now you say, was the star that they saw, was it the alignment of the planets and the cosmos? Was the star atmospheric star? What was this star? Now, I know for a fact, because history tells us this, and they can do this by looking at the planets, that there was definitely an eclipse and several things that took place during that time, and I believe that God had a purpose in that. But it's even more than that. It's more than that. They said it's his star. They say, we have seen his star. They knew this star was different than any other planned arrangement in the sky, that math could not predict this star. This star appeared. And so they saw it, and they take off. They get their entourage together, and they head to Jerusalem. They go straight to King Herod. Go back to Matthew, and they say in verse 2, where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. You see, the star is not there anymore. They saw the star to get them there, but the star is not there anymore. By the way, I wonder if this would be the first own star. And so they ask Herod, and Herod, now look at verse 3, because this is interesting. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled. The word for troubled right there in the Greek is terrified. Terrified. And all Jerusalem with him. This would have been on front page news the next day. And all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. He should have been inquiring of them where the Christ was to be born way before the Magi showed up. And that's the problem in America today. In America today, we're not paying attention to God. We're not paying attention to his Christ that has been born. We're not paying attention to the gospel. We don't care what the Bible says. We don't care what Jesus has to say. And because of it, we're going to wait. And one day, Jesus is going to come back. And people are going to be terrified. And they're going to wonder, they're going to say,
Go get the chief priests. Go get the scribes. Go get everybody up and tell us what the Bible says about this Jesus, because something is happening that caught me off guard.
Well, I want to tell you, the Bible will put you on guard, because the Bible tells you that just as this Jesus came the first time, he's coming back a second time. You see, this earth will not continue the way we see it for all of eternity. There is a Savior coming back, just as he came the very first time. That's good news. And I want to tell you that you can't predict when you're going to have to meet the newborn king. You could have to meet the newborn king by tonight, by the time the darkness falls tonight. You could have to meet the newborn king by the time you get out of church today. Nobody can predict when they're going to die or when they're going to pass. But it is going to happen. It is appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. We are all going to have to face Jesus. Would you rather meet the Jesus and worship him while you still can, while you're still breathing, while you're still on this earth? Or do you want to wait and meet Jesus when you've not prepared to see him? It's interesting to me that these are Gentiles. These are people coming from Babylon, from Persia, that are worshiping the king. And the religious elite had to go and look in their Bibles real quick and figure it all out and make sure that they understood this thing right. I got a feeling, Jim, there was probably some of those priests and some of those Pharisees that started trembling too, when they started realizing, uh-oh, Bethlehem, the timing. They started doing a little math. They go back to Micah 5:2, and they have to say this right here in verse 6. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah. You see, Bethlehem was a few miles down the road from Jerusalem. And they say, well, according to the prophet, he's supposed to be born in Bethlehem. And guess what happens right here? The wise men decide, okay, we're headed to Bethlehem. And look at what happens, and that's the last part. He is the guidance of God in Christ. He's our guiding star. But the third point is that he is our gift. He is the gift of God in Christ. He's our gift. I want to show you what happens. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also. Verse 8 is chock with hypocrisy, because Herod did not want to worship the king. And there are those in America today that are chock with hypocrisy. They'll say, I want to worship the king, but they don't want to worship the king. They're looking for something besides the king, and that's idolatry. I want to tell you, we need to be serious about Jesus. Serious about him. Eternity hangs in the balance with what we do with Jesus Christ. So they go that 5-mile journey or so, and they get there, and then look at what happens in verse 9. When they heard the king, they departed. They got the news, and they left. And behold, the star. Watch this. This is so key to understanding this. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east back home. So this star that they see right now looks very familiar with the star that they saw in the east. They're not saying, wait a minute, this star looks different than the star we saw in the east. They see it as the same. That's why they get so excited. Watch this. And when they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. Now, I looked at the stars last night, and it was a clear sky. Clouds were moving in, but you could see the stars, and they were beautiful. It was a dark night, and I love looking at the stars. But what they saw was not like the stars I looked up in the sky and saw last night. They saw a star that was guiding them. They saw a star that was atmospheric. And you know what that star was? It was a manifestation of the glory of God by the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit guided those wise men to Jesus, just like the Holy Spirit guides you and I to Jesus today. That's never changed. God didn't have to come up with plan B. He already had a plan A, and he never changed it. The Holy Spirit is still guiding.
and the Holy Spirit, and in the glory of God, producing that star in whatever it was made of, and in however it looked, but it was low enough, and it was low enough in altitude that it could stand above a house. You look at the stars today, and it ain't going to stand above a house. It's standing above the whole planet. You couldn't find what house Jesus is in if you trusted the stars in the sky today. You'd have to have a supernatural manifestation in the atmospheric realm of a star that could stand over the house. And that star's moving. It's moving. And I can just see the wise men on their camels. Giddy up. I don't know how you make a camel go. Kick it. But they're going to make the camels go. Go that way. There goes the star over there. And I can just see. And I'm very curious. Did anybody else see the star? I don't think so. I think that God revealed it to those that were seeking Him. You know what the Bible says? If you seek me, you will find me. If you seek me with your whole heart. I want to say to you, how often are you seeking the Lord? You say, I'm already a Christian. This don't apply to me. Yes, it does. It sure does. Because if you'll seek the Lord, and you seek Him today, seek Him in your finances, seek Him in everything that you do, seek Him in your family, seek Him in your worship, seek Him whenever you're fearful or you see all these things happening in the world and it produces fear in your heart, seek the Lord and I'll show you what will happen. The Holy Spirit will lead you straight to the Son, and when you get to the Son, you'll fall on your knees and you'll worship Him just like the wise men did. You'll worship Him. That's what makes you start singing in your car. You ever been going down the highway and all of a sudden you start singing 10 different hymns and they all combine together because you can't figure out which one went with what? I do that, and you're singing the chorus and you forgot the lines. Then you forget the title and you have to call Kevin and ask him. I do that. Taking a shower, man, that's the best place there is to worship the Lord. Man, I got the best acoustics in our shower you've ever seen. That's why our neighbors keep moving. You worship the Lord and you let that gift that He gave. By the way, did you know that the wise men, they gave, and we don't know if there was 3 or 12 or how many there was. We just go by 3 because of the amount of gifts. But it was gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The gold speaks of His deity and Him being a king. The frankincense speaks of the anointing. In other words, He is the high priest and the anointing of a king when you anoint the king. And then you have the myrrh, which was used commonly in embalming. And that speaks of the suffering and the death of Jesus Christ. And so it's interesting to me because whenever they came with these gifts to be kingmakers, the gold and the frankincense, something you may not know, we know that the myrrh is used for embalming, and that speaks of the glory of His death for our sins. But something you might not know, did you know that the death of Jesus was in deity? Jesus bore our sins in His body that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. But He was still God when He died on the cross. And He took our sin penalty. Did you know that when they would anoint a king, they would mix frankincense and myrrh together and make an anointing ointment? And when they came to Jesus with the gold, He's king, He's royalty, He's deity. And they give Him the frankincense, and they give Him the myrrh. There is a picture there of the anointed king who never loses his deity even at death. He is still God. Isn't that powerful? And so they brought Jesus a gift, and Jesus brought them a gift. And that's the gift of eternal life. That's what we have for Christmas. Don't worry about what's under the tree. Worry about what you got from the tree, and that's Jesus Christ.
Thank you so much for tuning in to the worship service at Mount Sylvan Baptist Church and Pastor Bruce Rudd. If you've been blessed by this radio ministry, or if you've made a decision for Christ, or are in need of prayer, we would love to hear from you at Mount Sylvan Baptist Church in Lindale, Texas. Give us a call, 903-882-3890. Thank you, and God bless.